Well, hello everybody out there in music video land, and welcome to another edition of This Week in Music Videos, the music video podcast where we're talking about stuff related to music videos, all contained in a 7-day period, also known as a week. There are 52 of them in the year. My name is Adam. Podcast is brought to you by IMVDB, the Internet Music Video Database, at imvdb.com. And with me, as usual, is Mr. Doug Klinger. How are you, Doug?
Doing super good. 52 weeks in a year.
52 weeks, 52 podcasts. That would be a great refrain in a rap song.
Yeah. We'll get Drake on the horn and be like, Drake, we have a line for you. Put it wherever you want. Mm-hmm. Wrap it in whatever you want. But think about this. 52 weeks. 52 podcasts.
And I mean, he did that.
Be like, who the fuck are you? How did you get this number? Would be the first thing he says. And then we'll explain it. And he'll be like, oh, I love that site.
And I wonder if Drake has ever looked at the site.
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe, yeah.
He's with it.
He did do that Tuesday, the club going up on a Tuesday song.
Right, so. Which means, and we discovered that, so.
Oh, yeah, we really put it out there. And then I'm keeping him silent because he hasn't been introduced yet. the new Mike Boy, North of the Wall, of Fringe Music Fix, Mr. Adam Alexander. Adam, show everybody your new voice.
This is my new voice.
Oh, God, no, it's hideous. No, I'm just kidding.
Put it away.
We sent Adam a new mic because it sounded like you were talking in one of those World of Warcraft headsets.
Yeah, it was.
Now you're doing. You have a blue snowball, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's the same mic that I'm rocking.
Sweet. Rocking. Same mic.
Oh yeah, look at that. And then Doug, you have a Yeti, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not as cool. More expensive though. So fuck you guys.
So we're here to talk about, we're going to get into some music videos in just a little bit.
What?
We got a great, little list going on. This is a great week for music videos. We'll talk about all those, but I wanted to see if anybody was, I'm just still kind of stewing and mad over the Blurred Lines, verdict that happened this week. And I was wondering if any of you guys are also as well as angry as I am.
No, definitely not as angry as you are. Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty angry. I'm pretty angry too.
You're genuinely angry, Adam?
Yeah, I feel like they're opening some floodgates for all kinds of annoying things to happen.
Right. And if anybody doesn't know what's going on or what happened, Marvin Gaye, his family, obviously Marvin Gaye is dead and has been for a long time, sued Pharrell, Robin Thicke, and to a lesser extent, I think I don't know what the legal term is, but he doesn't have to pay anything, T.I., for his rap verse on Blurred Lines, which they said stole from a Marvin Gaye song that the name is just
giving. Right here, we're gonna play you the two, and you tell us if you think they sound this. No, we're not really going to do that.
Got to give it up. There it is. Which if you listen to it, has like a kind of a similar vibe, but the main similar thing is that there's like a drum kit and a cowbell kind of keeping the beat there.
I think they're suing the actual cowbell too.
Yeah. The cowbell's got, the cowbell's career is ruined basically. And I thought in terms of a music video angle here, I'm not sure that there is one, although,
there is. If we talk about Isaac Rentz's tweet.
Yeah, Isaac Rentz tweeted a picture of the courtroom sketch, which is one of the most hilarious courtroom sketches ever, because this trial was kind of a circus. It included, Robin Thicke showed up and, played keyboards and, sang to the jury. Pharrell showed up. They had music experts on both sides. It sounds like one of the most entertaining trials ever.
Why did he do that? Why did he sing?
I think, so here's the interesting thing. They wouldn't play the actual Marvin Gaye song in the court due to some legal copyright thing. They had to play a modified version, but they played Blurred Lines several times. So I guess Robin Thicke was trying to go through and defend it, even though he didn't
he's defending it in song. He's like, you guys, I'm sorry.
No, he was sorry about one thing. He claimed that he co-wrote the song with Pharrell, and he said he was drunk when he gave the interview. Wrote the whole thing.
Oh, I get that. People do that kind of shit all the time. Artists do that shit all the time, though. Like, they're talking about something that they were involved in, and they'll stick themselves into it. Anytime an artist has said they've directed a music video, except for Grimes in this terrible video that we're going to talk about in a little bit, they didn't really. If an artist is like, yeah, this is an idea I had, they're lying.
It's funny because I was just hearing some reports on the radio about it, and they said one of the things that happened in the trial or like during the courtroom proceedings is that the jury on the side of the gay family used the fact that Robin Thicke's second album or the album after Blurred Lines had tanked as proof that like he wasn't talented enough to make this song. I think it was called his wife's name. And we had that video that also tanked, where it was basically him with like text messages over his face of him and his wife kind of breaking up.
Yeah, right. And it was his face.
It was basically his face. I mean, it was directed by somebody pretty big. I think it was directed by
Wayne Newton.
It was Jonas Ackerlund.
Right.
Get Her Back in 2014. So
terrible video,
which apparently had a big, gigantic budget as well.
Right. So words on the street is that was a $5 million video. No, it wasn't.
He had like the deluxe emoji pack there. That was like $600 emoji.
I'm still waiting on the emoji update. There's supposed to be a racially diverse emoji update, and like I haven't got it yet. Did it hit Canada yet?
No. It didn't. We don't have emoji here. Nothing.
Oh, wait, because you also have a different kind of weird phone. So anyway.
Well, that was good. That went well. So let's talk about some of the music.
There wasn't really a music, but I'm glad that you're upset.
I was just upset, so I thought I'd bring it up and see if anybody had any thoughts. I apologize. Well, let's get into the stuff that's actual music video related. I don't know where you guys want to start. What video makes you the maddest this week is, I guess, where we could start.
Carly Rae Jepsen.
Really, the Carly Rae Jepsen video?
That's among it. A lot of these videos make me mad.
Okay, well,
yeah, a lot of things make you mad, I find.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, let's not make it personal here, guys.
Well, let's start with the Carly Rae Jepsen video. I think that's a pretty good place to start. And then the song is called I Really Like You by Carly Rae Jepsen. It's been a while. It feels like not that long ago, but it's kind of been a while, maybe 2.5 years. I think this upcoming summer is 2 years, I think, since the Carly Rae Jepsen Call Me Maybe song swept everything. And Adam, can you confirm that Carly Rae Jepsen is in fact a Canadian?
Yeah, she is definitely a Canadian. I'm not sure if she's, I think she's from Toronto, but she's definitely Canadian.
I think she's definitely East Coast Canadian. Super cute. Love Carly Rae Jepsen. And
discovered by Justin Bieber.
Yes. For real?
Yeah.
That's
why he's
protege.
In this video.
Like, so if you're doing like an SAT analogy, it would be Usher to Justin Bieber, Justin Bieber to Carly Rae Jepsen.
It would go Jermaine Dupri to Usher. It would go Jermaine.
SAT analogies only go one way.
Oh,
there's
okay.
Two of them.
Right. I get it.
But anyway, this video is notable for starring Tom Hanks, who is I guess the way this video is described, it is the day in the life of Tom Hanks.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Because this is not happening Tom Hanks's day. What is happening? Let's describe it in not the terms that Carly Rae Jepsen used to describe it when it was being made. Let's just actually say what happens in this video. Tom Hanks is walking down a fake New York street, and over the top fake things are happening to him while he sings a song, like people dancing in the street next to him, and like running up to him, and the fact that he's walking down the street, like none of those things really happen to Tom Hanks on a daily basis. People maybe run up to him, but he probably does things to avoid people who wouldn't want to run up to him. So he walks.
So he's heading to a video shoot, right? Is that the idea?
Yes, he's heading to a video shoot and he gets into an old timey taxi. For whatever reason.
A dirty ass back window.
I mean, I love the idea that exists. I don't understand where it's coming from. This is clearly Tom Hanks now. Adam Alexander would describe his face as?
A bit rubber. Rubbery.
A bit rubber. And Tom Hanks' face is rubber AF in this video. It's about as rubber as you get. So this is clearly Tom Hanks now. It's not like some weird thing where it's the past. But the cab is in the past. takes him to the video, and then essentially, like, the minute that just happened is what is in the video. So it's this weird meta thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ends with, like, a dance-off. Carly Rae Jepsen shows up. Justin Bieber shows up. Two Vine stars are in there doing makeup for some reason.
And, oh, my God. I just noticed that. Yeah, Rudy Mancuso or whatever.
And King Batch.
Wow.
That's them in the screen in the thumbnail.
Yeah, yeah. Look at the thumbnail right now. That's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, it's stupid as fuck is what it is. and then that's the video, right? And then that's it. And Tom Hanks like does not nail it. Tom Hanks does not nail it.
He does not nail it. I don't understand. I feel like they had all the ingredients to make something cool. I really think the song is strong. We're gonna hear it like nonstop.
Please justify. Wait, stop. You have to justify why Tom Hanks is something cool. Explain to me what makes Tom Hanks a cool thing for a music video.
I like Tom Hanks. I think he's a very well-liked actor. I know you're not a fan, but a lot of people are.
I didn't say I'm not a fan. I'm saying, okay. I'm asking what makes him cool. People
well, he's
like,
kind of a big deal, really.
But that's not cool. I would say. That's not cool. Donald Trump's a big deal. But he's not cool.
Tom Hanks is totally cool. He has tons of. I mean, he's cool. He's kind of well known for being really into typewriters. And I remember.
Is he really?
Yeah, he like all types of typewriters. And I remember, I can't remember the name of the podcast because it's just off the top of my head. It was a Nerdist podcast. It might have been. Is there a podcast called The Nerdist? That's like the main one.
Yes, I think so.
Whoever hosts The Nerdist sent him this vintage, antique, very rare typewriter as a way to say, just, you know, will you come on our podcast? And Tom Hanks received this and said, yes, thank you for the typewriter. This is amazing. And it was like this is a few years ago, and it was all over Reddit and everything. And everybody just like, I think that was kind of the beginning of everybody realizing like, holy shit, Tom Hanks is awesome. He kind of had like this Brian Williams flavor where he could be, you know, serious, doing his job serious, and then kind of be in all these other different roles. So I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen more Tom Hanks music video stuff. But he must be a Carly Rae Jepsen fan, because sure he doesn't just do any music video that comes across his desk.
Chris Hardwick is the name of the man.
Yes.
Who is Nerdist. We have Tom Hanks in three music videos on the database. 2012 Drive Friendly Macedonia,
mm-hmm.
This Carly Rae Jepsen video, and then he's the featured artist in a song we have with Dan Aykroyd as the main artist called City of Crime from 1987, where both of them rap. Dan Aykroyd is a far superior rapper. Tom Hanks is like a very yelly, he's a very shouty rapper. He was cool then. And I think he's running on fumes right now. I'm still in protest.
I cannot disagree with you more.
What is the last good Tom Hanks movie? Catch Me If You Can?
It doesn't have to be. I mean, he's a legend. And we don't have
But that doesn't mean you're cool.
Oh,
that
totally does.
But it's not just legend, about...
Just because you're a legend doesn't mean you're cool.
No, but it doesn't. I don't know. I just think they had the ingredients. This could have been a fun video. They dropped the ball. This thing is terrible.
They dropped the ball because Tom Hanks sucks in this video.
We need to tone in the Tom Hanks hate.
I don't understand. Wait, hold on. Explain to me why Tom Hanks is going to help Carly Rae Jepsen sell an album to her audience.
She's got some.
Her audience is like 40-year-old men.
Well, no. The interesting thing is, Doug, a lot of people that I've seen responding to the video like it. Whether they're big fans of Tom Hanks and it doesn't matter what he does, they're going to like it. Or, I don't know, they find some charm in this video. I don't know what they see, but mostly I've seen people liking it, which is strange.
So let's also talk about some aspects of the video. Peter Glanz directed this. I think this is our first entry in the database for him, but he could have directed more videos. I'm not sure.
It's a commercial director.
Director. And so did anybody else find the last big dance number of this, like, kind of off-center, like, in a very literal way? Like, it wasn't, like, positioned in the center?
Frame it right? Yeah.
It was, like, off to the right, like, 10 feet?
And, like, super underwhelming, too.
there's a behind the scenes. Clearly, Tom Hanks had no idea what was going to happen in the video until he got to set. I watched this behind the scenes. There's a, like, he's clearly being explained everything that's happening. You can see them being taught the dance on set in their clothes. Like, Justin Bieber is there too, like, being taught the dance on set. Like, everything is was just, like, happening as it was happening. Like, the video got planned, then, like...
It was, like, super thrown together, like, in a day.
Thrown together. They found out that they could... That Tom Hanks was willing to do a Carly Rae Jepsen video before the concept came. And then... And then they were like, oh, what should we do for the concept? And they were like, didn't you hear Tom Hanks said he was going to be in the video? We don't need to have a concept.
Exactly.
And they don't. Exactly. They don't. And then Tom Hanks showed up and he gave just as much effort as what I just described. And what you get is like an you know, very lackluster video with like massively famous people just like slathered into it and a massive budget and just like squandered nothing nonsense.
And weird product placement. Weird product placement.
Weird product placement with Tom Hanks on Tinder. Dumb fucking joke. Oh my god, this video makes me so upset. like actually upset. Like it is such a bad video. I hate that. I hate that it even exists. And it's gonna flop, right? Carly Rae Jepsen, Call Me Maybe, is gonna have 700 million views. This video is gonna peak at 20. Like, you know, I think it's
a really good song, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely on board with the track.
Maybe.
It's catchy.
It's not bad. I mean, sing along with it, too.
It's a dividing track, right? People are going to fucking hate it or they're going to love it. There's not going to be any middle ground on this track. Like Call Me Maybe. There were people that were furious every time they heard it.
Those people are weird.
Well, speaking of Tinder, should we talk about the,
Oh, yeah, this video's great. Let's do it.
The, which one is the Tinder video? I forget.
The Wombats?
The Wombats, right. Give Me a Try. Oh, yeah, that's Give Me a Try. Sort of the big idea of Tinder. If anybody doesn't know, Tinder is a website where, or an app.
iPhone
app where you kind of hook up your Facebook profile and you swipe left or right and you just kind of see different people and you're like, yep. And if you both say, you know, thumbs up to each other, then you're, you know, you can contact each other and plan some sex.
Or something more serious.
No, yeah. I think girls use Tinder for stuff more serious, but
I use it for more serious.
I guess if girls are using it, then most of the people are too, because most people are looking for girls.
So this video is about, it's kind of a clever premise where these people are going through an app, a fictional app that is obviously supposed to resemble Twitter.
Tinder.
What did I say?
Twitter.
Okay. And the app is called Let's Date. And it's a very sparkly app, but then...
Which I would use.
I would totally use this. Yeah, please bank this. And the person is going through, you know, she sees a couple making out on the bus. And she starts kind of scrolling through this app and then all the pictures kind of come alive and we see the people in these pictures and it starts, and it's interesting because it does an interesting switch from a female kind of shuffling through male's perspective. And then she finds a guy is on a date. And then when she goes to the bathroom, he pulls out his phone and he's kind of swiping through the ladies. So interesting switch there.
Yeah, and it's like it keeps kind of like taking you through. Like you see a person, then they're using the app, and it's not like a thing. It's not like a thing where like it where like the person like literally comes alive in the phone. Like you see the picture, and then it's a cut to that person.
Right.
And initially, they're like you see them posing as they are for the picture, which is like a really nice. And it's like you see it. Like, you see them posing for a picture, but you see the action. Like, you're looking at video of them posing, and then you see, like, a flash, which is really funny to, like, see that, like, dynamic play out. But then, yeah, like, kind of once you're introduced to a new person, eventually they end up on the app, and then that introduces you to another person. And then, like, some of the people kind of commingle, and you start to see some familiar faces and stuff. But I really love this style of this video. And it's, like, such an – it's so easy to, like, come up with an, and it's not easy, but like it could be done really bad if somebody like tried to work Tinder into a music video, kind of like the way they tried to work it into the Carly Rae Jepsen music video, how it just like didn't fit at all. And it feels like it could be such a cliche dumb idea to like build a video essentially around this kind of like talk of the month dating app. But this is done in a really fantastic way. I really love this video.
So I wasn't really huge on this video. The only thing that I will give it is that, like my experiences with Tinder, it definitely made me feel empty and sad. I would give it that. So yeah, I mean, it was well executed, but it didn't do a whole lot for me.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I love this a lot. I thought it was really strong. And a lot of fun. Like, I liked all the different characters, and it is funny to see, like the posing is really fun to see. Like, it's like kind of like pulling back a curtain to like show what people are trying to like highlight about themselves, and like, you know, like fixing certain, you know, like adjusting and stuff. And it's fun to see it from like different people's perspectives.
Who would you guys pick as the loveliest lady out of this video?
I like the old lady with all the dogs.
That's your type there?
Yeah, I'm into that.
I like the girl on the hammock. I'd be into that.
She's feisty, it seems.
She's definitely feisty, because because the image of her that's like the moving image is very nicely composed and shot, but then you see like the Tinder picture and it's awful.
Right.
It's like this like blown out weird like image where the flash was too strong. Like, well, yeah, you wouldn't put that on a dating profile.
Well, the thing about Tinder is you have to use your Facebook pictures.
Right.
Which is
I think you can take one though, right?
Doug? Yeah, you can take one.
You definitely can't.
Like a live one. Right.
Oh, you can do well. You can't use that for your matching picture, though. You can.
Yeah, you can.
No,
at least on Android. I can't speak to iPhone.
You can share a picture. You can take a picture and share it like Snapchat.
Yeah. No. That's a moment. But you can take a picture and slap it up as one of your main pics.
You definitely cannot. you definitely, unless you pay for Tinder Plus or something, you can't do that.
It's regular Android Tinder.
You can't do that on my phone. Who's your favorite male character though? We've talked about the females.
Well, I like the pink housecoat dude.
Yeah, he's cool. I like the pink housecoat dude too. I think my favorite dude though is like the redhead dude with the giant joint and the female body inspector black t-shirt. You guys remember that guy?
He's so fucking good.
He's so fucking good. They really do kind of like nail these different types of characters. Like, I feel like the Wombats are kind of an English band. I don't know them for sure. This feels like an English music video. but doesn't it? Like, am I wrong here? Like, these characters seem like...
Yeah, this feels pretty English, yeah.
Yeah, this feels like these are characters in, like, London or something. But, like, they really do, like, nail all these different types of, like people, and then kind of just make fun of them. Have you guys ever went to, like, any of those Tumblr sites that, like, just kind of aggregate all the weird people from Tinder?
No, there things?
Like there's, that? Yeah, like, there's all, and they're, like, they're all really mean-spirited.
Mm.
Obviously, and some people you kind of need to be made fun of, but like they just make fun of everybody. Like you can tell, like there's one that's like just like Tinder in Brooklyn or something like that specifically. And I'm fearful that I'm going to end up past this girl's, like she's just going to see me, because she writes about people she doesn't even match with. She just like goes through Tinder and like takes a screenshot of everybody and then just shits on them. But there are some that are a little bit more curated and find just the dudes who need to be made fun of. Like, right. There's one that's just people with, like, just dudes with tigers.
Ooh.
Like, all pictures of guys with tigers.
That, you definitely fall into that category.
Yeah, right. No, my main picture is me with 11 tiger stuffed animals. I'm dressed as one.
Mm-hmm.
Diaper. We all have diapers. It's just like a weird thing.
Oh, I think it's time to move to the next video. I would love to talk about Chopping Blades if I can.
No, yeah.
By yeah. Mike Will Made It, who I think doesn't have like a huge amount of recognition, like name recognition, because a lot of his stuff has been.
He's a producer. He doesn't rap at all. Although you might, if you listen, like, you know, when he does make a beat, he, like, as producers are known to do, they have like a little calling card that they put in the beat.
Right. And his is Mike Will. Oh yeah, like some woman saying like Mike
Will. Yeah, it goes like this. Mike Will Made It. How'd I do?
And he's produced some massive tracks. Like you've heard his tracks.
Yeah.
For sure. And like Miley Cyrus stuff and.
Yeah, and his last music video. So here's why I brought this video up, other than the fact that it's hilarious, because it's got Riff Raff, and anything Riff Raff in is funny. But Mike Will Made It's last music video is the Hannah Lux Davis directed 23, featuring Miley Cyrus, Wiz Khalifa, and Juicy J, which is currently sitting at near about 400 million views. When do you think Chopping Blades is gonna hit 400 mil?
Well, it came out 2 days ago and it's at 330k. So
never. It's gonna be a significant drop off, but that's fine. I think that's fine.
Well, it's also not a pop track. It's like one of those everybody get in line rap songs.
Right.
But it features Riff Raff with pink hair, I guess. Adam, do you know how to say this name, Slim?
Well, I think it's probably just Slim Jimmy, but I don't know what that's all about, the X.
Yeah, instead of the A, it is
Jammy, maybe?
I think the X maybe sounds like an A. Huh.
Maybe.
He's in Ray Sermon, right?
Yeah, he is.
Okay. So, those are both featured, and Riff Raff, of course, is the star of the show, because... anything Riff Raff is in, he's the star of the show. And it takes place at this tiny used car lot sales area where Riff Raff is a salesman. And it kind of like takes place around him. He's like being interviewed. He's in the office talking about like how many cars he's sold. And he's like being he's dressed like Riff Raff, except he's in a maroon suit. With like black shirt on, and he's talking about how he's like the number one like top salesman, but that's the premise that sort of starts the video off, and you can maybe fill in the pieces in your mind of where it goes from here. But my favorite thing is that it's like we keep getting little bits of these very weird pieces of Riff Raff talking about how he sold cars and who he sold cars to,
and you can tell they just. You could tell they just let him go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there is no script, right? Like, the concept for this video is, let's have Riff Raff fuck around as this character. Like, we're going to do a booty video at a car dealership, and mm-hmm. Riff Raff is sells cars, and we'll let him do whatever he wants to do with that character. And we're going to do nothing. We're just going to do a booty video otherwise, right? Just like it's literally like get in a line and rap.
He sells a card to Bertha Selsby, who is identified as a satisfied Big Hanks customer. Big Hanks is
upsells her, I think.
A little bit, yeah. He sells her to a car that says, and I'm trying to figure out if this is some weird typo or something, but on the front of the car it says $137,262 cash.
Right. No, that's not a typo. That's just them being absurd. Insane.
So, yeah. But the funny thing is, like, a lot of these cars are, like, 2002 Ultimas. And, like, the car that he sells her, gets her into is a $140,000 used car.
Well, they do have a handful of, like, rap video cars sprinkled around. Because there are scenes when Riff Raff never raps as this Jimmy character,
right.
But there are scenes where Riff Raff is himself, and he's dressed as himself, and he's wearing a ridiculous snow hat,
right.
And in those scenes he's actually Riff Raff, but otherwise he's just in character. And I'm trying to figure out like what they told this woman, like if they gave. If they gave her any direction, or if it was just like, just go on for the ride, just agree with everything this guy tells you. Because basically the whole video is just her like smiling and nodding and just like, right, yes, huh? Yes.
It leads to one of my favorite, and we should mention this is directed by Motion Family, which is notable. But it leads to one of my favorite shots in recent memory of a music video, because like you said, it's a booty music video. There's all sorts of ladies dressed up in what I want to think they imagine is business attire. really tight dresses in black and white. But there's a scene where this woman, Bertha, who is dressed in like a very blue, conservative blue dress. She looks like Nancy Reagan a little bit, and like white pearls. Is like signing on a clipboard, signing paperwork and smiling while everybody around her is like dancing and twerking. It's amazing in every way.
The kid from Ray Sermon is terrible in this song.
He's basically like screaming the entire time.
It's terrible. Riff Raff's verse is not, it's not high quality Riff Raff versage either. He's had a lot better. Like, this is just like, neither of these guys are really great rappers. Like Riff Raff shows up and does something good every once in a while in terms of rapping. This is not one of those occasions. And the beat is just like very like hit you in the head style. It's almost better to like, it's good that they go to the diegetic sound.
I have to say Riff Raff's performance impressed me though. I didn't really expect that. I thought he did really good.
Oh, is it actor you mean?
Yeah. Like his actual acting performance.
It's when he does that makes me pretty sure that he's doing that always.
Yeah, for sure. That was actually something that I thought of. Like the whole Riff Raff thing is probably an act.
Yeah, because he's too, like, he's using vernacular as this character that is like too tuned in to what this character's vernacular would be. And it makes me feel like, okay, he's able to kind of do that. He's kind of
absolutely.
Like, he can be like an Ali G, but he's doing it in a different way because he still has to maintain some of the Riff Raff. Like, it probably gets kind of confusing. Like, he's probably not too far from what it, but I think he's just like a lot more conscious of stuff. But yeah, it really does prove that he can like play a character.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's worth mentioning that they have a lady in this video who is just pulling her breasts out for no reason, and then she's got a caution tape over them. It's a nice touch. It's those little touches that really kind of push a video over the edge.
It really is. Oh yeah, I see that.
It's really subtle.
Yeah. You blink and you miss it. I feel like there's a girl in this video that was in the 2 Chainz birthday song video. I can't place who it is.
You know that butt when you see it. Right?
I definitely know that butt. I just get that feeling.
Well, aren't there in the 2 Chainz birthday song? Oh wait, no, they're not. They're not wearing suits in that video.
They're wearing similar dresses, I think. But yeah, I think Riff Raff, he definitely does a great. He may have heard that there's a kind of a famous recent within the last year and a half or so, This American Life episode about a car dealership where they kind of follow a car dealership for a while. And I feel like there's like little elements of that kind of feel like it was at least somebody had heard about that and maybe it inspired this video a little bit. So anyway,
here's a quick question. Do you guys think they would, this video would, like, if Riff Raff wasn't in this song and not in this video, I feel like this is still the video they would have tried to make for this song and it would have been so bad.
Yeah. I think Riff Raff definitely makes it, but if he wasn't in it, they still would have made it.
Yeah, this would be it. This is what Mike Will was still going to do. Just walk around. And big shouts to Waka Flocka Flame.
He shows up.
He makes a little cam jam. That's what we call it here. We call him a cam jam. Fucking assholes. Let's move on to another video. What do you think?
No.
All right.
Adam, what were you excited about this week?
I feel like we should probably, because it's looming over me, we should probably get Grimes Reality out of the way. Because I know I'm gonna get teamed up on.
For your love or hate?
I'm a fan.
Okay.
And Doug and I have kind of had a little precursor to this conversation. Doug is not a fan in any way. He kind of alluded to it earlier on in the show.
I did. I didn't allude to it. I said that this video was
you said it was shit. Yeah, basically.
I didn't know it was an illusion.
Well, it's a tour video. It's one of those Japan tour videos. So why don't you walk it through us for us a little bit?
So basically, and this is kind of my defense for the video, and I'm not going to try to persuade anyone to like this video if they don't like it, and I'm not in any way stating that it's like an unbelievable video, but I think the story behind it is that, and I mean, this is all hearsay, this is what Claire Boucher, who is Grimes, has stated, that this track was never meant to be released, and apparently is an unfinished track. And I think this video was released very quickly on a low budget. It's old tour footage from 2013 that was basically just edited together really quickly. She's not trying to make a great music video with this. It was meant as like a quick surprise release, apparently to say thank you to the fans in Asia, because this was shot during her tour. The things that I like about it is I think Grimes is super charismatic on camera, and pretty much anything that she's going to be in, I'm going to be probably a fan of. I'm like a huge Grimes fan. And I also really like the styling of the video. Her hair looks really cool. She's got like a two-tone kind of a faded hairstyle that looks amazing. And those are the reasons why I like the video. So yeah, Doug, what are your thoughts on this video?
Well, I'm really bummed that she scrapped this album. I feel
for
like,
sure,
because I feel like it was like it seemed like she put out that song that was supposed to be for Rihanna,
right?
And like got pushback. But like this is a great song, isn't it?
Absolutely, it's really good.
Jogger Memories about the album being pushed back. Remember something about her putting an album back? Because like
it
people
was
were.
Scrapped.
Yeah,
she just threw it away.
Yeah,
she stopped it. She's not she and started over because she released that. What was that song, Adam?
It was Go, and I do Go. Think that was the catalyst for the cancellation of the album because it divided her fan base, and I think that caused her to rethink what she was trying to do. And
Go seems like such a, like a lot different. Like this feels a lot more like her last album. This song,
well,
this doesn't feel like Go as much.
It does, but it's still a push forward towards a more accessible sound versus what was on Visions.
Yeah, I dig you. You're right.
And God, I wish she had released that album. If Go and this track are any idea of what we could have expected, I think it would have been like a really great album. And I mean, she's signed to Jay-Z's label now, so I don't really know. I don't think she knows what to do.
It's weird.
She's gonna start a rapping career. Talk about how she used to sell drugs back in Brooklyn or whatever Jay-Z enjoys talking about.
Maybe.
I've heard him sit talk about that. This video feels like all of the things that you described it as, Adam. It feels like a video that was kind of thrown together with tour footage and but it just like I don't it, everything feels it feels like they were trying to have some things composed here though, right? It doesn't feel thrown together so much where like she's not performing, like she is performing, right? It they seem to try to compose these shots in a way that was like interesting, and I feel like all of those attempts were swings and misses, right? Like they're like the things that probably could have been visually dynamic, I feel like all of those kind of miss for me. Like all,
yeah,
of
I
things,
mean,
like these with the backlit
shots of chickens and stuff that looks like something I would make. But
this is like describing this video and describing the Oblivion video. It's not significantly different. If you were to just like describe the actions that happen in the video. In the Oblivion video, she's kind of framed in the center a lot, performing a song into the camera in a place that's unusual to where she normally would be performing a song. And that's kind of the same thing that's happening in the reality video. But the difference between the reality of the video and the Oblivion video is the lack of a professional film crew and director involved with the project. I feel like.
Yeah, I'll give you that for sure. It definitely seems filmed on like, you know, a shitty camcorder, whatever, cell phone. But I mean, her performance. I love her performance. I love the way she dances and how she executes like her music video performance, and that's all there. And those are the things I like about a Grimes video.
I think she's there and some of it's there, but it's not as polished as it would be. And also,
it's not.
I don't think that this was shot with an iPhone. I think that this was they used good equipment and they just didn't know how to use it, maybe. Or like just, they just like lacked.
Yeah, I don't understand where you're getting that from. This looks like a fine, visually appealing video. I didn't really see anything about this that struck me as like, oh boy. What a bunch of amateurs. I thought it was...
I mean, there's black spaces between a lot of the cutting.
I didn't see that.
There's black spaces between several cuts. And there's like... there's just not like a coherent color palette to the video that you see across the shots. Like, you don't... It doesn't feel like this... Like, this feels like all raw footage to me. It feels like...
Yeah. I'm not sure they were going for polished. I think she just whipped this thing out of nowhere. Like, they just threw this together with an old footage that they had and released this track that wasn't supposed to be released.
Yeah, but I'm not... There's only one scale to judge a music video on, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Regardless of what happens, I'm still getting it, me as, like, the internet viewer of this music video. I'm getting all music videos the same way. And so... There's no like TV and internet difference where the polished stuff goes on TV. Like, this is a Grimes music video in the same place that I saw the last one. And it doesn't have those elements that make it seem like it was done by people who are like professional filmmakers.
I did notice she's got her brother down as DP in the credits of the video. And the last video for Go also credited her and her brother as a directing duo. So I guess it's an extension of that. I guess they're maybe trying to make a go at something like that.
No, they definitely are. On her Tumblr, it's like, why do I hire a photographer? My brother's a photographer.
Maybe we haven't seen some really great evidence of that yet. Maybe they're working on something and we'll be blown away someday. You never know.
So in defense of this video, because I think it's fine. I mean, it's not one of my favorite videos, but I think it's fine. I think it's interesting to me because it fits in this tradition of this music video tradition that I don't think has really been looked at very closely, which is like the I'm in Japan, here's my tour footage video. Which, if you kind of look closer, like a lot of bands have this kind of thing. Because Japan, you know, they get to Japan, not a lot of time to make a music video. Maybe like they're there in like the second single, their album cycle, and they need another kind of like lower budget video, and they're like, well, we're around all this cool stuff and we want to show people that like we're very popular everywhere, and this place that seems like alien to most people, to the main audience in America or the audience in America, would look at this and be like, where are you? You look like you're on another planet, but you know, you walk among these people and they love you, and look at all the people that are at your concert and they're just obsessed with you. And I find that really interesting that is a thing. You don't see a lot of music videos where it's like the tour music video from Australia or whatever, or Europe or whatever, because everybody knows Europe is just a weird version of America. They're completely freaked out about the things that are going on in Asia and how colorful and how weird it is and how it looks like an alien, you know, alien planet, basically. And on that scale, I think it's relatively successful. It finds some interesting, weird things. It has all those ingredients that this kind of video has, where she's kind of hanging around places on her off time, and she's at a concert where everybody is just so overwhelmed to be there and loves her. So I think, you know, if this, you kind of have to look at it in that context of that Asian tour video context, I think it works.
If you couple that context with the context that Adam provided for it before, with the fact that this is an unfinished song, that she's like not going to finish. Like, I feel like having an like an unfinished vibe in the video is reflective of that, and I see it making more sense. And yeah, like definitely, like I'm not saying that Grimes and her brother, if going to Tokyo, are incapable of like capturing cool looking images. I, you know, every person I follow on Instagram like is find some fun stuff every once in a while, and like my friends are like insurance salesmen, so you know, like anybody's capable of like finding a great image. It's just like putting it together in like an overall piece is what's lacking for me, you know. And so, you know, maybe I was being unnecessarily hard on it because I just am so bummed that like I feel like I'm bummed by a lot of stuff. Like, I'm bummed that like this album got scrapped, and I'm bummed that you know, like I feel like Grimes is super dynamic to watch perform in a music video, and I'm just like bummed that I don't get to watch it in a way that is like at the same level as her music is.
Mm.
Yeah, and, I hear you on that.
And the,
for sure.
And the lights, my light bulbs just burnt out. Oh. So that's fun.
Oh, you know, you gotta get one of those at the store. They sell light bulbs at the store. You replace them. It works out pretty well.
Oddly enough, I had a candle burning because I like to set the mood for the podcast.
Ooh, wow. I didn't know that. I do not have a candle burning,
so I'm already good to go on that.
Is it a scented candle?
Yeah, cinnamon apple.
Nice.
Which is different than apple cinnamon, I found out.
Now, do you burn a different candle when you have a Tinder date, or is it still the cinnamon apple?
No, it's same candle, same nice. Flavor. But my Tinder dates frequently take place in the room that I'm in now because I like to just like go through Code Academy classes with my Tinder dates. It's just fun. So I learned how to code. I'm like, come over, learn how to code, maybe like figure out how to hand wash our clothes.
Are you learning how to code?
No, no, I'm not. Why? Would that excite you? I could lend a hand.
No, Adam's lighting a candle.
What?
He's real excited.
Yeah, whoa, I get it now. There's a lot of videos left. Let's try to squeeze some of these puppies in. Can we talk about what I like? Is there any I like? Let's talk about Dev Hynes and Nia Sherry. You guys, what do you guys think?
Well, you brought it up. You got to tell us about it.
Okay, He, She, Me is the name of the song. It's directed by Katherine Ferguson and Alex Turvey.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also a fashion film for Selfridges. Fashion film for Selfridges. And also a music video for this original song by Dev Hynes, who is Blood Orange, and Nia Cherry. Adam Alexander, do you know Nia Cherry?
Yeah, she's like a mid-school kind of R&B artist. She's a bit of an older artist.
Do you think I'm saying her name right?
That's how I would say it.
Cool. So the video stars Harry Neef, which is another name I'm hoping I'm saying right. Harry Neef, who is a trans female. Right? Adam, do you know? Why did I get
that
this job?
That gets tricky.
It's a video that has people who are, you know, trans. People who probably who are, like, biologically male but identify as female or vice versa.
But the whole cast are members of the trans community, I would.
And it's a dance music video, which is important.
Right.
This is a music video where I was... You picked this. I think it just came out today. We're recording this on Thursday, March 12th, mm-hmm. 2015. And Doug sent it to us, and I was watching it. I'm like, I feel a Ryan Heffington vibe. And I looked at it, sure enough, I was like, I'm getting really good at recognizing when Ryan Heffington is choreographed something. Cause
isn't that awesome, though?
It is. It is. Because it has a vibe, but it never has, like, it's not like he has the sprinkler move or something. You know, everybody has a sprinkler move in his whole videos. It's just a very thing that I could never describe. But as soon as I see it, I'm like, I know that. I feel like Ryan Heffington had a hand in this.
How funny would it be if he had like
that's probably coming. That'll be the next Sia video. They'll do the sprinkler.
Yeah. Dude. That would be amazing. I would pay to see that, even if just Sia and Maddie Ziegler made that for me. You can leave Shia LaBeouf out of it if you want.
It's up to you guys.
I didn't realize Huffington was involved. That's really cool, and it makes sense now that you've mentioned it. You can totally pick up on that.
And there are all these... It has like a kind of a Fleur and Manu vibe to me in parts. I don't know if you guys got that as well. Just like the geometric shapes and the darkness and like the starkness of the cinematography, which was shot by a DP, Jake Scott, really talented DP who's done some pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Is it a single take?
It seems
like one to me.
Yeah, I think they hide some cuts in here. I think they hide some cuts
when
in here.
When it's dark, I think you can hide some cuts
pretty well. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But it is like a lot of really long takes, though. Either way, you know, they hold on a lot of stuff, and it's really beautiful video though, and the dancing is everywhere. They're like within
the, crazy. The final shot reminded me a lot of the Jungle series of videos. They always have the final shot revealing the cast, and they're also dance performance videos too. I wonder if there's a connection there.
I think that it's always interesting when like things that are in the public consciousness that are being debated culturally kind of bubble up in media, and that's I think it has to, like, that's where those things get expressed. And I'm really excited about the idea of music videos being an area where those ideas get expressed. You know, there's been a lot of, you know, with like the incidents in Ferguson and all these different things happen that are racially related in the United States over the last few years. There have been different pieces of media that have kind of come up that have dealt with that. We had the movie Selma, which was about the Civil Rights March that just had its 50th anniversary last week. You know, that was a feature film, obviously, that was nominated for a Best Picture Oscar. But I think it's really interesting when those kind of issues come into music videos. And there's another music video that I think we'll talk about that deals with the subject of race relations. But it's been really interesting to watch these sort of issues of like gender identity become fodder for music videos. I think we saw that really clearly and probably most vividly for me, I think, in the Arcade Fire We Exist video directed by David Wilson, which there's a fantastic commentary on our site about. But we're also getting like pieces like this, which are really like, they don't have like an overt political message or like morality tale like We Exist has, but
there's a political message kind of like baked into this video.
Yeah, like it can't really exist without the kind of political message. Even the fact that it's existing is sort of a political message.
Right, exactly. And it's actually interesting you mentioned David Wilson. That's actually he tweeted this video today, and that's how I found it.
Oh, nice. Okay, I didn't see that. Yeah.
Yeah, Dave Wilson tweeted it. He was very excited about it.
But it's just, you know, obviously he's a supporter of you know, this being out in the culture, and I think music videos play an interesting role in bringing that in, because it's, you know, obviously music and the film worlds are very open and accepting worlds that have like a window and like a way to get, you know, pieces like videos into people's homes, you know, through music and through film. And I feel like in the past, like, music videos have been popular, but they haven't really exactly been like vehicles of like cultural change or like shifting cultural views on different subjects. But I feel like that could change in the future with how kind of prevalent music videos are and how many music videos people are consuming. So videos like this are obviously not going to, jump out of the charts and make any, you know, like make a huge impact, I don't think. But they're definitely important.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, I feel like Dev Hynes is a pretty famous dude. I think that he, so his involvement kind of like, and this is a great song too. You know, I think that it expands some of the reach of this type of video.
It's actually a very interesting choice of artists as well, because both Deb Hynes and Nanny Cherry are both slightly androgynous types, so it actually fits in really well with that idea of gender as well. So yeah, it's a cool video.
Should we talk about the kind of the other end of the spectrum here with the James Lee's video that came out this week as well?
Yeah, totally.
So this week, the video is called, it's actually two songs, but we have them listed under a single music video title, The Future Is Slow Coming by Benjamin Bucker, directed by James Lees. And this is a kind of a complex video to describe, I suppose. James Lees has been on this podcast. He's a fantastic director. It's the story of this, I don't know, probably our age, late 20s, black guy who is, it feels like he's in like a Groundhog Day kind of state.
Yeah, he's actually like, the singer, right, Doug?
I think that's
Benjamin, yeah.
And yeah, it is like a way less funny version of Groundhog Day. Like if Groundhog Day was about police brutality and violence.
And this takes place in the past, obviously, or maybe it doesn't. There's so many ambiguous things about this video, but it's so really intriguing.
What's happening is he's like kind of, it's the same, he keeps driving past the same location, mm-hmm. and kind of different things are playing out that are emblematic of both the past and now. Like you're getting like hands up, don't shoot style, like very like, of net like chants and protests that you hear now, and then you're also getting kind of like what seems to be, you know, his car is old and some like it just seems like you're getting kind of the past kind of dealings with, you know, racial conflict, represented as well, and he kind of keeps driving past it, more of like an outsider to it. For the most part of the video, and just kind of like keeps driving by it and seeing it and kind of having to just kind of deal with looking at it.
So it's a small town, we assume somewhere out in the American South. And yeah, he keeps driving past, and it's like a small group, but there's like police officers there, who are, I thought that the lunch counter somehow played a role in this, because he keeps going into a lunch counter that is all black and sitting down, which I believe that's the deal back then. It was like there was the white lunch counters and the black.
Yeah, I think that you see some like different types of segregation going on. Yeah, I think you're getting a little bit of that. It is interesting. It's a small group, but I think that actually has like, and that stuck out to me as at first, and I'm like, oh, that's a kind of a small group for all those cops. Like, maybe they couldn't get enough actors. Mm. But then I remember James Lees has done music videos with massive amounts of actors. But I also think that, like, that's kind of the deal right now, right? Like, over-policing, too many police for, like, not that big of an issue. And I feel like that could be being played out in this video, too, in, like, in a more subtle way with, like, just as many cops there with just like a handful of protesters. You know, I think that that's kind of representative of kind of what's happening now and still.
Yeah, maybe intentional on that part.
Yeah, totally.
It's interesting the way they cut up this video because, and honestly, I watched this video a few times and I didn't see any like clear demarcation that showed like if he, you know, what time period he was in or like how he was, because I thought at some point he was driving past a grave marker on the side of the road, and I thought it saw at some point he goes up to it and there's a picture of him on the cross. I don't know if any of you guys got, there's definitely a picture of somebody and it looked like him,
and that could be another like the fact that it's ambiguous on when certain things are taking place, and it could be then, it could be now, like that can also tie into the like what this video is about essentially, you know, and that it's just as bad always, you know, it's bad now, it was bad in the past, and it's like hasn't really improved.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what time period he's in, he could be in now or in the 1960s, then he's still gonna run into the same problems. And the problem he runs into is he's arrested at this, somebody shot at this kerfuffle, and he's put in the back of a police car, and instead of taken to a jail, he's taken out into a field at dusk, and they kind of, he runs away, and they shoot at him, and then he finds his way into a party where he starts playing guitar. It's a really, and that's where the two songs come in, that the first song ends when he's arrested. I really loved this video. I thought it was a great, really ambitious narrative structure to take on for a music video, and I thought it worked really well.
Yeah, and for not really like a huge artist either. I think Benjamin Booker is just kind of, I had never heard of him, and you know, this video is not like massively, you know, it's not got Mike Will Made It numbers.
No way.
But
I wonder if Riff Raff could have been played a part in this though.
That's weird.
Riff Raff is one of the police officers.
Oh my god! Could you imagine like this, like James Lees was like, yeah, I'm just gonna try to like see if he could just kind of fit into the story and just put Riff Raff into this video and just no mention of it. Riff Raff is just a cop, and it's like all these things. It's just like this beautiful video that you're like locked into, it, like. Because, yeah, you don't necessarily know what's going on. You're, like, you don't really have a full grasp of the narrative, but you're just, like, on board because of, like, just the tone and, like, you like, feel for the main character and you are just on for the ride. And then, like, suddenly it's just like, is that fucking Riff Raff? He's got an MTV tattoo on his neck. Yeah, so that would be great. I'm going to – we should email James –
James, and, if you're listening, we got a great idea.
Yeah, next time, remake this video, right? Do this video again. Put Riff Raff
in it. Don't even do it again. Just cut him in. right in there.
Just paint Riff Raff into this video.
And then every so often, like, this music stops and Riff Raff is starting talking to the camera about being a policeman.
he's like, I've been a policeman for about 14 years now. He's so good. It would be a different character. It would not be the Frank character from the Mike Will Made It video.
I feel like it could be a similar character. I feel like I like how we talked it turned this very serious video to us talking about how Riff Raff can make it better or not. But I love this video. It had some amazing shots. The shot of him running through the field, the tracking shot is amazing. It was like
such a good video.
Yeah, as if you were watching a feature film.
Hmm, one of those.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
So I wonder if we should end by talking a little bit about the South by Southwest that's coming up in the next week or so.
Oh, we're not going to work Bjork in.
I don't really super feel need to talk about Bjork, but if we want to talk about her...
We don't have to talk about it. Bjork put out a music video this week.
She did, and I just... it's her in a dress writhing around. I don't feel there's...
I'll just quickly state that I'm a big fan of it. We don't have to go into detail, but I don't want to like make it sound shit.
Some reason.
Yeah, explain why you're a big fan, other than the fact that you like Bjork a lot.
Yeah, well, that's...
Well, I mean, this is just... I mean, this is the kind of video that that she does like no one else can do. This doesn't look like another visual that I've seen. The costume is crazy. It's the same costume as the cover of Von Lacura. And the performance is unique, and unique really sums up the whole thing, and that's what Bjork is all about. And
it's like every Inez and Venuta video that I've seen, it's got that vibe. It feels so much like this 4 or 5 seconds Rihanna video from a couple weeks ago. In a lot of ways it does. Like it's Bjork instead of Rihanna and Kanye West, but like they're in the same place. They're in the same place. It's like in a white psych for a lot of it. It's just like their videos are very like stripped back, and this is like a lot of the same shit happening. I do like this one point though when she does this little thing with her finger.
Yeah, the performance is so cool.
You guys know the part though with her finger where she's like sasses it up for a sec.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, Bjork sasses it up.
Yeah, she does a few times in this. But, I mean, you guys are making this sound kind of like you're not really a fan, but you did staff pick it.
Well, right, because I did, because Bjork put out a video, and, no, it's not a terrible video, but I do think that, like, when Bjork puts out a music video, that I think that it needs to be pushed up to the top, and people should look at it. So I feel like that's... Staff pick the IMDb pick doesn't necessarily mean it's always the best video. It's more of just the videos that we think people should be looking at.
Okay.
Do you guys disagree of that?
I staff pick all over this video. I'm a huge fan.
Ooh. Yeah, that's a weird way to describe it.
That's exactly how I'm describing it.
I'm trying to find this sass finger moment that I really love.
She kind of like does a little, almost like a wink when she does it too.
Take a screenshot and we'll put it as the...
Yeah, the thing. We certainly aren't going to use the weird like... Well, it's always...
I do think that she has a bigger video yet to come, which I thought was going to be the first video, but they surprised us with this one. I think, Adam, you'll even like the next one.
Ooh. I think there's an interactive one coming, maybe.
Yeah, something.
And we should also mention that this video is coming. Her MoMA exhibit is opening this weekend, I think.
To mixed reviews.
It's definitely open. It might be open already.
The art critics are not a fan.
Well,
York fans are fans. I read an article one time.
Who is curating that? Is it Andrew Thomas Wang?
He's definitely involved. I think he's... I don't know in what capacity, but he's definitely a major contributor to that, I think.
And he's directing the video that I thought was coming out first.
I'm excited for that.
That'll be a good one.
So... We can do a little South by chatty.
Well, just to let people know what's going to be there in case you're going to be there. We will not, unfortunately, this year. Doug, you were at it last year and I was at the year before. I'd love to go next year. Maybe we will. But one of the things I'm going to really miss seeing on the big screen, because I think one of the great things about South by Southwest is obviously the facilities are top notch. And that is seeing Tim Hendricks' video for Make Some Noise by Valentino Khan featuring DJ Kool, who you may remember as a video that
we talked about on this podcast.
Yeah, Tim Hendricks was on this podcast, and it features a llama that is shooting fire out of its eyes and saying, "Everybody make some noise." So I would love to see that on the big screen, but the one that I would love to see on the big screen that I'm going to miss is Gold by Chet Faker, directed by Hiro Murai, which, if anybody watched the Apple announcement from this week, there is a new MacBook that Apple's releasing, and for the first time they have a gold laptop, and their little reveal video for this was set to Gold by Chet Faker, which I thought was kind of fun.
Clever.
It's weird that that Apple's made their third color gold, because you can get a gold iPhone.
Yeah. Why not?
I mean, what the fuck? What makes any other color better, I guess? What makes anything better? So there are two, I think there will be three chances. If you are going to South by Southwest, I think there are three chances, at least three, to see music videos. Obviously the music video showcase, which we just talked about. I think there is a, they do a midnight short screening, and a lot of times there's music videos in there. They're just like the weird ones. And then there's a Vimeo staff pick screening that also will have some music videos. So go to any of those if you want to see music videos and you're at South by Southwest.
Ba-bam. I think we did it, you guys.
Man, we sure did.